Over the river and through the woods. Yeah, yeah, fuck Christmas. Especially when your grandmother's last present to you was the house she spent the last year dying in. Sure, it's a pre-Civil War plantation that sits on that 12 acres of beautiful wooded land, but I actually loved my grandmother, and I would rather have her alive and healthy than this musty old house on any day. How fitting that song would come over the radio as I was driving to my inheritance on Christmas Eve. Grandma did not go quietly into the light. She went raving and screeching as cancer devoured her brain, turning her from a gentle and wise soul into a cackling old fool. She was only 70 when she passed, but in her last year she had wasted away badly. She looked 90, barely weighed 75 pounds. I sat with her most of the time during her last few weeks. At times she was lucid, and I would have her tell me stories about growing up in the late 40s, around the 50s. The stories seemed to put her in a better frame of mind. When she would lose touch with reality, her episodes were less horrible. Sometimes she would just think that she was a teenager again. These were the few times that we can get her to keep any solid food down, I guess. If she thought that she was a teenager, she would eat like one. Other times her episodes were just heart-wrenching. She would squeeze my hand and thrash around as it was much harder than anyone would think that her withered frame could manage to thrash. Sometimes she would relive terrible memories. Sometimes she was in a waking nightmare. Often it was both. The home care nurse would come in and give her an injection. Sometimes she would just fade into this fitful sleep. 2 days before she passed, Grandma was having one of her most lucid days, and she was telling me a story about two boys fighting over some friend of hers at a drive-in theater while some terrible science fiction movie played. The boys were actually fighting over her, but she was too modest to admit it. In the middle of the story, she grasped my wrist with her tiny little hand, gave it a squeeze, and was silent for a while. And she turned and she looked me directly in the eyes. Eyes that she had passed down to me. Gray-blue like an overcast winter evening. She held my gaze for what seemed like an eternity. Tears began to run down her cheeks. "You know, I think they've lied to us all these years. There isn't a heaven after all." She turned away from me, snatched her hand away, began ranting and spewing word salad. I cried while I waited on the nurse. 2 days later, Grandma was dead. Her heart gave out. Just stopped beating while she was asleep. She was cold and gray when I found her in the morning. I called the home care nurse and 911. I told them that she'd been dead for several hours, possibly all night. I sat in the parlor, that old plantation house, staring at some silk flowers in an old vase, waiting for the ambulance to arrive. At first, no tears would come. Only a sense of relief, coupled with guilt for feeling that relief. I sighed. The tears came. The funeral was torture. I'd never met half the people who showed up. Family I'd never heard of, and most likely would never hear from again once they learned they weren't in the will. Funny how things like that happen, right? I was told the food was good, but I couldn't recall actually tasting anything. 2 days after the funeral, the will was read by my grandmother's attorney. To my surprise, the bulk of her estate had been left to me. She had changed her will to reflect this just a few months before her cancer had damaged her brain too much for her to make legally binding decisions. She left my parents and my brother a substantial sum of cash, but the house and property were mine to do with as I please. I decided to stay there for a while before I made any long-term decisions. And so, we arrived back at the moment where I pass the old wrought iron gate, and that stupid old song is playing on the rock station because everyone who works there is at home with their families. The old house looked different somehow. The The leafless oaks and maples that framed it reminded me forcibly of Grandma's hands in those last few weeks. Bare, thin, alive, but not really. The entire property had begun to mirror my grandma's state of being in her last weeks. I decided to sleep in the bedroom that I had claimed as my own when I was a child, spending weekends and entire weeks during the summer there. Aside from a complete collection of Disney's Wonderful World of Knowledge encyclopedias and an ancient edition of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, my childish things had long been replaced with more adult-sized furnishings. But that feeling of being sheltered, shielded from the harsh outside world, remained. I unpacked my things, made myself a small dinner out of what I could scrounge from the pantry, and laid down on the sofa on that main room to watch television. No sooner than the 10 p.m. news had gotten around to the weather, I fell asleep on the couch. It was a fitful sleep, and I was dreaming that my grandmother was sitting in the front porch swing waiting for me. She was in her gown, the IV lines running into her arm. She was obviously cold. She turned her head to me and held my gaze. Her eyes exactly like my own. And they held untold depths of sorrow. The swing creaked. I snapped awake. Some late night broadcast was on and was obviously a rebroadcast as the host was making jokes about something stupid a celebrity said last summer. I shook off the dream and decided that I should drink the remaining milk from the fridge before it went sour, and I should probably turn in for the rest of the night. Milk always made me sleep better. I heard the porch swing creak. The winter wind had been set into motion, but every hair in my body stood on end, and I was sure my skin was going to crawl off my body and hide in the closet. I shook the images from the dream from my head, and I turned towards the kitchen. The swing creaked again. This time much louder, again and again. No sooner than the regularity of the creaks registered, there was a hollow thump right outside the front door. I laughed aloud to myself. Sure now that it had just come from a raccoon playing around on the swing, I stopped laughing immediately as my voice echoed through the house, sounding not quite like my own. Another thump and some scratching sounds. Claws across the old boards that made up the front porch, I decided to chase the animals off before they caused any real damage. As I headed for the front door, I flipped the switches for the outdoor lights, and to my surprise, none of them came on. It was odd, since just last week, they had been working just fine. I shrugged and opened the front door. The swing was swaying back and forth in the wind, but there was no animals to be seen. Nothing but bare trees and darkness just beyond the reach of the light streaming through the windows. I looked around and shouted, "Hello?" "And fuck off, you raccoons, or I'll make soup out of you." In the bushes just outside of the reach of the porch light was a flurry of motion. I'd scared something up and it was running off. Satisfied, I turned back to the door, and as my foot crossed the threshold, there was another thump. This one behind me. I turned around quickly. And there, at the bottom of the stairs, was Grandma. Still in her gown. Still wasted and shrunken. She was moving on all fours as if she was mimicking a cat. She reached the second to top stair. She stopped and held my gaze. Her eyes were still the same color as mine and held the same depth of sadness that I had seen in the dream. She turned her neck in an impossible fashion, making an obscene popping noise as she did. Never taking her eyes from mine, she opened her mouth. Her teeth were blackened. Her mouth was full of some horrible black liquid, she said to me in her sweet, familiar voice. "They're lying to us, honey. There really is no heaven."